It is Elite Beverage International's turn right here on New to the Street, the podcast edition. I'm CJ Papa. I'm with the president and CEO, Luis Cota, a partner, venture capitalist, Greg Wass, and Anna Marie Seabright, the VP of Communications for Elite Beverage International. And first of all, the three of you, thanks for coming on our New to the Street podcast.
Thank you for having us, CJ.
You know, it's really interesting, Luis, for our listeners who don't know you, your backstory is amazing. Can you take us through, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the company, I just think people need to know about who you are because it's so interesting.
You know, CJ, talk about a moment in time. I've been doing this for 4.5 decades in the industry, started in the wine side of the business, and I was imbued very much with fine wine business in Napa Valley and Europe and so on and so forth. I was lucky enough to work for a couple of very large corporations like Diageo and Gallo Winery. So for my first 20 years, it was that kind of an experience, sales side, marketing side, training side, and those kind of things. In the last couple of decades, by just a pure stroke of luck, one of our investors asked me to leave the winery and introduce into America Tequila Cazadores, which is now owned by Bacardi, as a matter of fact. And so that was my sort of start into the tequila business. And lo and behold, 20 years later, here I am, a native Mexican. I speak the language. You know, I came from Mexico. I love the tequila business. It's part of my culture. And tequila has blossomed into this incredible category in this industry. And so for me, it's like the stars have all aligned. You know, I am Mexican. I love this business. I enjoy it tremendously. It's a fun thing to drink. Today's tequilas, to Dan's point of view, are like the best of the same thing as single malt scotches and whiskeys and bourbons and those kind of things. So my career has been a great hobby for me and a fun career. And here I am, lucky enough to be involved with Greg, our other partners, as a founder of this company in a hugely blossoming category. So it's a natural. Mexican tequila and tequila comisario.
And you also mentioned Dan, our producer. So Dan gets a hit here. But you know, your passion is something that is so infectious. Mm-hmm. Just sitting here talking to you or when we're on the TV side talking. Mm-hmm. Where does this love of, not necessarily tequila, but love of the industry come from? And, you know, you said it's a hobby, but it's something that you love to do. But hobbies are like a train set, and you're doing that. This is a hobby that's a business for you, but it's amazing how you just boiled it down to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, because for me, it's kind of an instinctive thing. So I guess, you know, I simplify it. But, you know, it's interesting. I started out to be a teacher when I went to college. I was going to teach history and literature and Spanish, you know, so I'm all into liberal arts. I'm all into history and society and the kind of things that make cultures interesting, you know. So this tequila thing is interesting because tequila, when you look at whether it's, I don't know, Kentucky or Tennessee or Ireland or Scotland for the drinks they produce, and I'm a little prejudiced because I am Mexican, but tequila has this incredible cultural, social graces imbued into it. When I go back to Jalisco, Mexico City, or even Tijuana, where I was born and raised in Baja California, there's something about the Latin American culture, something about the social graces. And I was raised in that environment, you know, and so that everything that I learned as a young man, and then when I got into my first assignment as a recruiter, trainer, liberal arts kind of a thing, everything about me talks about the kind of culture I'd like for us to be in. And so this ties in very nicely with that. So it is kind of an instinctive, innate thing for me to be doing this kind of a thing.
That's nice. And Greg, how did you come into the company for Elite Beverage International? You work with Luis every day, who brings it every day. What is it like to work alongside of him? But what is it like for you to be involved here?
Well,
there's a question.
Yeah. Everything in life happens by chance. It's relationships. It's who you happen to know. You meet at an odd place and things happen. And a good friend of mine, I was in the telecom business with, moved out to California and started getting into different things. And I've always been an independent type investor. I go around and looking for opportunities and things. And he mentioned this opportunity to us and said, hey, you need to meet these guys. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, let's get together and talk and see what it's about. I studied the market a little bit, said, okay, this looks interesting. I got to know the guys. And I'm in Tennessee, and these guys are in California, but I travel out there a lot, so we do a lot of things over the phone. Luis will tell you that I'm a bundle of energy. I run on caffeine, Red Bull. I go 100 miles an hour. I like to accelerate things and do stuff. And as an investor, you know, I looked at this as a pretty unique opportunity because of all the growth there. But the way we met was just by chance, and you get to know the team and the people, and you start embracing things. And I almost felt compelled to get involved with this. where typically I invest and I'm a financial guy and I just kind of put money in places and let the organization do things. This thing drew me inside because not only did I want to learn, but I wanted to help bring my experiences together and help them move along. Where at that time, Luis was wearing a lot of hats. He had a lot of things going on, and I've lived that life before. Coming from a family business and being an entrepreneur, I've spent those 70, 80-hour weeks doing multiple things, from sweeping the floor all the way to billing the customer and stuff. So I saw where his pain was. I realized the growth potential and how we can take this thing and move it along. And we talked and got to know each other. And I'm like, let's do this together. So this is one of those rare times where I really want to get involved, because A, I can learn. B, these are great people. They really are. They're educated. We've got guys with Luis's experience and background and his passion for the business. Our whole team is like that. Steve Rice, our COO, is a great financial guy, well-connected. He knows M&A stuff and things. So it was just a natural fit. But back to your original question, it was just by chance. A guy knows a guy, and you have a meeting, and you take off from there.
It's really nice how you guys really mixed. Yeah. Did you expect that going in, or was it a little apprehensive?
Yeah, in the beginning it was different, because I'm type A, he's a little type A, and I'm one of those guys.
Sometimes that doesn't work out, a couple of type A's.
So in the
but it does.
It's my pie, but he wants my pie, so it's my pie.
So you hit spot on with that. The first 60, 90 days, it was different because I'm used to driving a business. I grew up in owning a family business, so you're used to doing everything. Then we sold our business. I peeled off. I became a passive investor in certain things, certain other investments I became more engaged in. This one I wanted to engage in, A, for knowledge, and B, because I thought I could help bring things and accelerate. Luis was a little stubborn, a little reluctant to let things go in a good way, because he was hands-on, wanted to make sure everything was done right from soup to nuts. And we just learned to say, hey, let's agree to things and move the business forward together. So I got him to do some hiring and some things he was going to do eventually, but I just wanted to do that a little quicker. Understanding the market and the growth potential was kind of surreal. So I've had the best time. The last 12 months have been the best time of my life, meeting these people, getting engaged, understanding the industry, the passion, the history. I learned so much, and I'm just looking forward to the next couple of years and blowing this thing up. It's going to be fun.
And Luis, you know, when you hear that, and look at that smile. I mean, I know you can't see it on the podcast, but it's ear to ear, the grin that he has. But when you hear that, and the way he describes working with you and with your company and coming in as an outsider, but yet he was welcomed and you guys worked it out, how does it make you feel?
No, you know, it's interesting. I like being challenged. And all my career was when I was a recruiter, when I worked for large corporations, I said, can I hire the best talent, teach them everything I know, and have them challenge me for my position? And that's going to keep me on my toes and make me better. I've always believed in that. So I'm a very open book. And he can tell you, the first couple times we met, I spouted out all this information. He goes, stop. I can't take it all in. You know? So, no, I'm very open with that. And because we're both very high energy, you know, we've been at each other a couple of times. And then we say, you know what? This is good for the business. Let's just go forward. So, no, I enjoy the challenges and the being pushed. But I also don't mind being corrected. He can tell you, and she can tell you, that when people say, Luis, look at this, A, B, and C add up to D, and you're going this way, stop. And I do. And I listen, you know?
Yeah, and Anna Marie, what is it like with the dynamics, this company? Because you have to have some people willing to bend and willing to say yes and work together so that you can bring other aspects of this company to people besides just alcohol.
Right. It actually was a pretty fun undertaking. Coming on board, I was a publicist and owning my own business. And, you know, I thought, oh, you know, I'll help out. It turned into a passion for me when I saw how much they were putting into this brand and what the brand was really doing. Mm-hmm. I'm not a drinker. I became very educated and learned the nuances of this amazing alcohol, and I have an appreciation for it now, where I can sip it and I can enjoy it without getting drunk or feeling, you know, out of sorts. For me, I thought, you know, there's a couple of things here. When you look at a brand and you look at it pushing it forward into the market, you're looking at, does it have a story? Is the story compelling? Does the story have history? This has all of those amazing things, but it also has these amazing people at the helm. Luis has been an amazing, you know, CEO and president of the company. He comes with a passion and with an experience of over four decades. Greg, venture capitalist, and he's an individual venture capitalist, which makes him kind of rare in the space, in that he takes his own money. He vets the companies that he's moving forward with, and he personally had a huge part in hiring me. And you know, being an entrepreneur myself and thinking, can I really give up and go into a corporate kind of structure? I didn't think I could do that. But this is not a corporate structure. This is a culture. This company has become a culture and it's become a part of my life now. I believe in the product, but I believe in the people. And that's a rare thing to find. And so I think it's an easy space to kind of get into when you know that, you know, what you're putting out there is very organic, it's very authentic, and it's not being told you have to go out and sell something. It's like, let's educate the public, let's get them inspired and motivated to want to taste an upper echelon kind of, you know, ultra premium product.
You know, we've given some of the backstory for Elite Beverage International right here on the New to the Street podcast. But you mentioned an interesting word there, another chapter with this story, another direction. You guys have Elite Gents Social Club. Now, who had the idea? And before we dive into it, how long, when did you come up with this idea and where are we with it? Who'd like to handle that? Luis?
Well, it's interesting. Anna Marie can tell you that I may be the president and CEO, but I'm also a very moldable pupil, and she's certainly molding me into what she thinks I should be in terms of being the face of the company. But given my background, you know, I'm a little bit older than all of you in this room, and I have a sense of what social graces should be about, what civility should be about, what a cultured country should be doing. And we've talked about this on and off for the last few months. And I've always said, you know, I love what's happening to our country. I love the economy. I love the way our company's going. I love this whole thing about, you know, social media, internet, but we're losing our social graces. We're losing our ability to communicate face to face. So I keep talking about this issue of saying, you know, we need to be civilized. And she listened very well. And she says, why don't we do something that takes our brand? Because tequila category needs a lot of education. People enjoy it, but how is it made? Where does it come from? What's the culture in Jalisco? What's the history behind it? How many hundreds of years back does it go? All of this stuff, there's an incredible culture behind it, you know? So we started talking about doing this thing. Well, how do we tie in simply the basic education for the brand, but going past that, can we take this wonderful spirit that lends itself to social occasions, to dealing with each other, to having a cigar after dinner, and begin to create a sense of social graces and civility? And that was sort of the genesis of the Social Gents Club. And then Anna Marie, being who Anna Marie is, ran with it. And here we are.
Yeah, how did you take it? That concept and put in your brain and come out with it?
Well, the one thing that impressed me the most about this company is the fact that Steve and Luis, and they're our CFO and our CEO, they do business very differently. And the way they do business is like the gentleman's business, you know. It's the handshake. It's when your word meant everything. And so sitting in board meetings with them and just seeing the way they gracefully handle even the most chaotic of situations, I started to think, you know, this is what we're missing. And if my target audience and what we're seeing right now as far as tequila and ultra premium spirits, it's trending in a market for millennials, females, and the mixology. How can we use spirits to mix it with other amazing things and have it pair with food? So I looked at my CEO and I looked at my CFO, Steve and Luis, and I said, you know, let's take it back to the days of the social club. Let's get the graces, the culture, the way of doing business, the way of dealing with other people, not just men, but women as well. And let's educate them and let's kind of make it fun and let's wrap it around spirit where we're not, you know, selling them just a product. We're selling them a lifestyle, an experience, elevating their taste to something that they haven't really been introduced to before. You can have money, but it doesn't mean that you have the wherewithal to, you know, really be able to experience something that's higher unless you are told, hey, you might want to try this, you know, so it made sense.
Now, is it a members only type situation? And if it is, how do you join? Like, how does a young man or a young woman become involved? And who knows, maybe it sets up a connection to someone who's a little more experienced, who may have some business connection that could work out. But how do people get involved?
Mm-hmm. It's really easy. We're making it obviously open to anyone. And as long as you're over the age of 21 and legal drinking age, we really invite everyone to apply to be a member. What we would like to do, and I guess I can have Luis talk about this a little more, but we want to have people come to online where they can go right now, which is elitebeverage.com, or they can also sign up through tequilacommissario.com. But just fill out a brief questionnaire and become a member. It entitles them to have like this monthly newsletter that kind of engages them. It's almost like a digital magazine, if you will, where it just introduces what's happening within our world and the spirits world. But we have the fortunate, you know, position that we get to go to the MGM Hotel, and we get to go to these amazing events, and we get to kind of live this lifestyle of, you know, the rich and famous. And so we want to bring our members along that journey with us. But what we propose to do is actually take it a step further and have a real physical, experiential thing happen within the Liquid Lounge that we're going to be offering nationwide as pop-up lounges. So Luis can tell you a little more about that.
No, it's certainly, you know, interesting enough that when you look at wine and spirits, it certainly applies to Comisario in that we lend ourselves to a wonderful lifestyle, a wonderful breaking of bread, if you will, you know, in terms of those kind of things. And I was thinking of business to business. This will be, you know, graciousness to graciousness kind of a thing, to be able to be with each other and enjoy and have company. And within that, you know, when you enjoy fine spirits, I don't want it to be some rigid, stuffy event, but I want people to appreciate the wonderfulness of the product. And by that same token, you elevate it to a level of taste, whether it's liquid taste or personal taste, that makes sense to enjoy and brings a bit more graciousness to the occasion. So that's what I want these events to become, you know, certainly very informal and very loose, but to have a degree of composure, if you will, that we all tend to enjoy and make ourselves behave a little bit better.
And with the Elite Gen Social Club, I mean, is this a way to connect to millennials, Greg?
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a father of two. I've got two boys, 17 and 24. I've got nephews in around the same age group. So you look at your kids and you say, okay, where are they headed? What are they trying to get at that age? What are they looking for opportunities and things? And it gives them some sort of goals and structure to shoot for. And as they go through their journey of life, finding out about, you know, who they want to be or what they want to become, it kind of gives them some guidance there. And to your point earlier, you know, you get people coming into a room like this or a group together, it'll lead them to other things in life. You might meet a guy in there that connects you to something else you have a passion for. So the gathering and the potential there, much in the same way that my partner introduced me to these guys, the same thing can happen with the connectivity here. So I try to, like any parent does, they want the best for their kids growing forward. You put these opportunities out there and say, hey, you could put this on your LinkedIn or whatever and become connected somehow and let it lead to other things in life. And so going through their eyes, as much as I'm out of date with millennials because I'm older and my kids will tell me that every single day.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that goes. They all do that. It gives them a path to take and make a choice and an opportunity to do something unique in their lives. And I think once we develop this fully and get it really out there, it's just going to gravitate and people are going to migrate towards it. And I'm kind of looking forward to see how they respond to it. It'd be kind of cool.
Luis?
You know, it's interesting. I just thought about this as Greg was talking, but one of the things that I envisioned for Tequila Comisario is down the road, 100 years from now, 50 years from now, when we're all gone from this world, somebody will say, who the hell created this brand and what makes it unique? And one of the things that I envisioned for Tequila Comisario as a group, we wanted to become a brand that, like Napa Valley or like Cognac or like Scotch out of Scotland or like Champagne out of Reims, it's going to become a unique brand with a very unique place that it's from. The Highlands of Jalisco are a very unique place. So we want this brand to be always in the future to be estate bottled, to be single appellation, to be a brand that has a place of belonging to. I mean, when you think Louis Tress, Remy Martin, what do you think? You think of the world's highest class cognac. When you think Macallan 18, what do you think? The best scotch in the world. When you say Louis Vuitton, what do you think? You know? So I want years from people to say, wow, this Comisario stuff, you know, it's Highlands of Jalisco, it's, you know, age-old agave, it's wonderful barrels, and it's just a unique experience that brings them back to that sense, place that it's from. That's what I want for the brand. So I think that kind of historical thing applies very much to the sense of this long-term tenure of a brand that applies to history and civility and good behavior as well.
Well, elite is in the name of your company. Unique is the taste and how good it is. Mm-hmm. But do you think you need to find a unique clientele? Is that one of the reasons behind this, that you want to educate some of the younger people out there about what this tequila is like? Mm-hmm. It's not just to sit there and throw it back and and eat the worm at the bottom of the bottle and burn your esophagus. Mm-hmm.
Great point. You know, it's interesting. As an immigrant, I came here when I was 15 or 16. Legally, by the way. I must say that. And you've heard the stories about come to America, the land of opportunity, and work hard. You're looking at him. I mean, I came here. I give back. I contribute. I do a lot of things because this country is incredibly wonderful. But when I came here in the late 60s and 70s, we were all about burgers, potatoes, and steaks. I mean, that's what America ate, right? We were just a very wholesome country. Over the last few decades, we've learned to enjoy Mexican food, Mexican beers, curry from India, sushi from the Asia. We've opened up to the world and realized the world has a lot of fun things to open up. So all of a sudden, for the last 10, 15 years, brown spirits, scotches and bourbons and whiskeys, Dan, Lagavulin 16, have become wonderful things to enjoy. And I think as young people, millennials, enjoy those, I'm not sure that they have a sense of what's behind those products and what's the history behind them. The same with tequila. And so I want this whole cultural thing that we're experiencing in our country, which is fabulous, by the way, to really imbue it with a sense of, let's really learn all about it, you know?
And what about the mix, though, of the different types of people that you might put together here? Is that one of the driving forces behind it, behind the Elite Gen Social Club?
It's more that we want to have the experience. We want to invite everyone. It's not about, you know, we're looking for a certain kind of demographic or a certain, you know, income, annual income base or anything. We know that, you know, pretty much the world is our demographic, and we want to introduce this as a global brand. So for us, it's more about, let's bring whoever's interested in just wanting to know more about tequila, about spirits in general. This isn't, you know, just about the tequila. This is about a culture, a lifestyle, the things that make people, you know, tick. It's a community that gives people an opportunity to actually have a face-to-face experience. We can put together beautiful ads and commercials, and, you know, our bottle is gorgeous. It's like jewelry. But if you don't taste it, you're not going to be a repeat customer. If you don't have the experience that draws you in emotionally and makes you feel attached to the brand, and in a way that you feel that, you know, we're coming with information and we're being credible and authentic, that's what we want in return from our members, to feel that same connection with us and just be real.
Anna Marie, there is some new information coming out from your company this week. Can you break it down for us?
Oh, so we just recently launched a press release that pretty exciting for Elite. Elite's been the owner of Tequila Commissario now 4 years, Luis. And so they spent the better part of getting the brand pulled together and introducing it to the industry first. They wanted to see where their positioning would be in the industry so that they could go out with a credible, you know, backing from the powers that be, who know fine spirits. And in doing that, they were able to accomplish some really incredible accolades. We have now come to a point where we have the wherewithal to say, you know, we are that upper premium, ultra premium brand, and now we need to let the world see who we are. So we're launching a huge campaign coming the first of the year, and it's basically a way to, you know, bring our product out to the masses. The social club is the biggest way in doing that, because it kind of gives people this experience that it's not a repeat experience. It's going to be different every time with the location and the people. So I guess Luis can talk more about the marketing as far as what we're doing with strategic partners, but it's pretty exciting. We're not looking at just being another spirits company where we're throwing, you know, millions of dollars into ad campaigns. We really want to go about this and be strategic, because we believe in our product. And the moment you taste our product, we have to say no more. It's getting the consumer to get the product in their hand, you know, see what it's about, feel what, you know, the experience kind of brings. I think with any brand that is really luxury and worth its weight, is going to just compel the consumer past that first experience. So,
hey, Luis, before we get to the marketing, I just thought of something based off what Anna Marie just said. She said, moving up the ladder, basically. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to get a brand and get up that ladder to where you are now?
Incredibly difficult. I mean, when you look at the tradition of brands in the spirits world. I mean, there's certain brands that have done. I mean, you look at Remy Martin, you look at Macallan, hundreds of years of history in those brands. Just this morning, there was an article in Spirits Business Journal that said a single bottle of Macallan Scotch that was drawn by an artist, it had its own drawing, sold for $1.5 million. That's Macallan, and I keep telling the whole world. That's sort of my mantra, you know, going for the future. Not the price.
The price will be nice,
but the awareness of what Macallan has become, you know. So, you know, when one of the things that my partners can tell you is when we started this project, I said, we will not, you know, be deeply discounting. We will make it up. I mean, everything that I put together in terms of point of sale says we are in the competitive set, ultra premium with Patron, Don Julio, Herradura, Casa Amigos. And I keep putting that out there because people understand that we are in a competitive set. And we start there. We don't, and everything we do starts with that. So to be able to belong to that, what do we need to do? Just a little, like a little side note example, for example, when you look at a popular priced tequila brand, they probably use 3 to 4 kilos of agave to make that bottle of tequila. We use between 7 to 8 kilos of agave to make that single bottle of tequila. So we use about 2.5 times as much agave. And that means that when we crush it, ferment it, and distill it, we get rid of about 45% of the lesser and higher distillate, and we keep only the heart of the distillate. So very expensive juice to be at that level. And as pretty as our bottle is what's inside the bottle that makes us unique. So we take steps to make sure that at every step of the way, the bottle, the age of the agave, the amount of distillate we keep that is only the heart of the distillate, the barrels that we buy, everything that we do, the fermentation, we oxygenate the product so that it's going to be smoother and creamier. So all those things make us very unique and put us at the very top of the heap. Having started there, we make sure that we don't bastardize the brand, if you will, right, to stay there.
And yeah. I'll just add, even though we use the heart of the distillate, we're very conscious about the shortage in agave. Mm-hmm. And so we do actually sell that off, mm-hmm, the lesser quality. And you know, there are those products and they'll remain nameless, but yeah, they use the lesser quality agave. And that's, you know, we try to use, you know, make sure that everything is being used. We just don't put it in our product.
Hey, Greg, you know, you have so much experience in handling money and seeing the price of things, but when you hear Louis say the price is going to be this, we're not going to go down, do you feel in your experience that people do like to pay for the premium, whether it's alcohol, shoes, handbags, or cars, that if they have the money, or maybe they scrape that extra money together, that they will buy a product like yours, which you want to aspire, you want to be a little bit higher, is what you guys want?
Yeah, without a doubt. And in the beginning, I was apprehensive about it. Okay. It was one of those things where it's like, okay, let me, as I learned about the business and they explained to me more and more, there is a clientele out there that you cater to a little bit, but I've always been a volume guy. You know, it's one of those things where if you go out there, let's sell to the masses, and if you diluted the product a little more, you know, economies of scale, efficiencies, all the kind of mechanics behind that. But as I studied the market more and more and understand who the clientele could be and what can happen, it's like, yeah, this makes sense. And you go out there and target those people. But and it also aspires other people to get to that level as well. So, okay, I want to get up there. This stuff is really good. And maybe during their walk of life, they can get up to that level. But I'm convinced of it now. I like the category we're playing in. It's a growth market. You know, this category has grown, I think, 700% since 2002. There's been double-digit growth for the big boys. And I don't like to name their names typically, but the guys we're in competing with here, they've been growing 10, 12% consistently the last 5 years. And the next 10-year projections are the same thing. We talked earlier today about if we could just grab 1% market share or 2% market share in this premium category with our stuff, our valuation would go to $1 billion, maybe $2 billion. It's just crazy how big the market is and how it's growing. Mm-hmm. So, but back to your original question, yes, you can cater to that group and you can stay and keep the stuff up at a certain level. And I just think there's nothing but upside here. And as an investor, I'm excited about it because it's a great place to put money. It's safe. It's a growing environment. And the clientele can become endless, not only in the U.S., but globally. You know, we're going to go out there and attack different kinds of markets and things. So I just think and the other thing is our stuff in the bottle is better. We win taste tests. We get awards, accolades and things. And these guys out there, Patron, they don't know we're coming, but we're coming. And we have everything set up to do this massive rollout. And it's almost like I want to warn George Clooney and guys, get ready because here it comes. Because we beat him at taste test. So I'm just excited about next year. It's going to be a fun ride. It really is.
So another milestone would be the Elite Gen Social Club and getting it rolling to the point where you're getting a large group of people and you're having these events across the country where people can enjoy tequila, but also meet other people as well. Mm-hmm. So that's like your next milestone, you think?
Exactly. I think that's going to be important next year. And going back to the original point, we'll connect people from all walks of life. It could be coming out of country music. It could be coming out of hip hop. It could be, the idea is to just connect everybody there and let them come to a common place and not really be compartmentalized. We want people to join together. And I think you can go through all walks of life doing that with a common goal. It's not about what your income is or what you're doing. It's more than that. And I think once we get that message out and we start teaching people about tequila, the health benefits and the things, I just think it's going to blow up next year. It's going to be really fun. And these guys are great with it. You know, he's so innovative with his stuff and she's so spot on with the social media and how to do it. I'm just the nuts and bolts guy behind the scenes. Say, you go do your thing. And I'm good with that. So,
it's interesting. When I first came into the tequila business 25 years ago, I was charged with bringing this tequila into America. And my biggest challenge was saying, how do I take this tequila from the Hispanic market into the Anglo-Saxon market, for lack of better words, okay? Because America wasn't drinking tequila. Every Mexican in Chicago or in Dallas or in LA was drinking it, but not American. So that was my biggest challenge. This morning I went to the event last night. The places I go to, I'm just amazed by the mix of Americans that love tequila. It's incredible.
I mean, it's because of the job you've done, though, because it's tastier.
Yeah. Well,
there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's the product has become better from the kind of work ethic or whatever the process. Thank you. I knew I liked Anna Marie. Lost for a word she came up with, but the process is better. And you guys are at the forefront of making it a better product, you really should take a bow for that.
Well, it's interesting. 25 years ago, 20 years ago, brands like our competitors began the 100% agave process. We are not taking that process and taking it to the next level, and indeed with, the process we do for oxygenation, aged agave, we take twice as long to cook and ferment than most people. And so those things that we do are taking the 100% agave category to a higher level. So your point is well taken.
Well, and to add on to that real quick is, we're looking at doing things differently next year as we get into the club and everything, but we're looking at going to do some vertical integration where we want to buy some land, buy the plants, maybe purchase the distillery, maybe apply blockchain technology in to start creating traceability from ground to shelf type stuff. So we're looking at all sorts of different dynamics to separate us from our competitors, because our juice in the bottle is already better than everybody, but now we'll become a more effective brand and company by implementing these things next year. So we're kind of looking forward to that too.
And before we go on the podcast, Anna Marie, again, how do people get into the Elite Gen Social Club? How do they sign up?
So we have two ways, and basically we invite everyone to come on to elitebeverage.com, and that's E-L-I-T-E, beverage.com, or tequila, commissario, C-O-M-I-S-A-R-I-O.com. And it's right there on the homepage, and it's just a real quick, your name and your email address, and then we will do the rest.
I'm signing up as we speak.
Yay. CJ. Awesome.
Luis living the American dream and taking the rest of us with him.
Indeed.
Greg and Anna Marie, thanks so much for joining us right here on New to the Street. They are the brain trust, the power behind Elite Beverage International. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, CJ. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, CJ.
Thank you, Dan. Us.